So thank you. I'm really, really happy to be here. And yes, we're going to talk about vampire energy this evening and what it means and essentially why you want to be free of vampire energy, which is everything is, of course, an energy exchange. So vampire energy means essentially that there is a drain going on, almost like a sucking out of energy of actually your second chakra. Does everybody has at least a vague understanding about chakras? Yes? Good, because that's kind of important. Okay. So why are we here is always a good question to ask. It's a question that I ask my clients and my students because I usually get a really clear answer. So why are we here? And I mean here, and I also mean on the planet. Why are we here, right? We're not here just kind of to go shopping, right? Or even to raise our kids, although that's certainly a part of it. But we are here essentially on a soul mission. I think most of us at least have an understanding of what that means. That if I were your angel, I would say, okay, go. So do you agree to these soul learnings? And apparently we must have said yes. Sometimes I question it. Did I really say yes to this? So yes, to that we have come here on a soul learning. That's really, really important. We tend to get a little bit lost in the everyday stuff, don't we? At least I certainly do. So we're here essentially to clear away the debris, right, that we have created, because everything, of course, is a creation. I don't know what about you, but I really want to put my name to everything that I create in this lifetime, right? And I'm hoping that most of it is favorable, but also I have no illusions that some of it is not. Right? And so I want you to feel the longing in your heart. Do you want to put your name to everything that you create? Right? And I'm hoping the answer is yes. Right? I'm hoping the answer is yes. So we're going to focus on second chakra healing. Do most of us know where second chakra is? Just below the navel, and on your sheet that I want you to keep and I want you to refer to, second chakra is just below the navel, and second chakra in its unhealed state is about reactive anger. Doesn't sound good, right? Reactive anger, power struggles, right? We're just focusing on the unhealed second chakra right now. Power struggles, I think we all know what those are. Addictions, right? Addictions, from a coffee addiction to relationship addiction. Addictions, something that essentially you have not been able to release yourself from, right? And recently I had talked with a lovely woman who had such a severe espresso addiction that I was like, oh, right? And a severe espresso addiction is really going to keep you trapped in old patterns of energy, right? Money. Yeah, money, relationships, and overall imbalances. And I didn't mean to skip over money issues because most people on the planet still have money issues or poverty consciousness. OK, Okay. Now, I just want you to hear for right now that whatever stagnation we have in that second chakra is going to affect your overall flow, right? Your overall flow. And why do you need flow? That's why you're here. I'm going to talk more about why do you need flow, right? A few examples on second chakra stuff, if I may. Significant drainages of energy. Probably the second chakra is the weakest chakra in most people. And I always talk in my work about energy drains and energy gains, right? Whenever we have severe energy drains, and of course all of us have at least some, right? You literally, it's like having a bank account where just money flows out and you don't know where the heck is flowing to, right? So the second chakra, when I look in my personal consultations, the second chakra is usually severely damaged with most people, okay? So energy drains is what we are about to repair this evening, and of course in an extended time on Saturday if you choose to join us. And so everything essentially is about energy management, right? Managing energy. How do you spend it, right? Just like money. And what do you get, what investment do you get on your return? Clear? I don't know why I'm telling you this funny little story. Years ago, I'm just guessing maybe 30 years ago, because I was given such an unusual way to put my creativity out into the world. When I wanted to coin, what is it that I do? What is it that I teach? And I thought, well, I teach energy management, do I not? Right, I teach how to spend energy and how to preserve energy. So I thought this was kind of obvious. So I put on my business card, energy management. Right, you know what happened, don't you? People thought I was into heating and air conditioning and this and that, right? And I just thought of that today. That was like so funny, because most of us, even now, still are not aware enough, right, that you create with your breath. You create with your awareness. And if there is all these leaks, if you will, there's not going to be sufficient energy to be the creator of what you want to create. Are we good? It's kind of really, really simple, but somehow it seems like most of us have overlooked it, right? So that's why we are here. I'm going to give you, if I may, some examples of that second chakra. It's kind of the space where, what's that called, where you carry your gun? Not that I carry a gun, but you know what I mean, where you put your holster to carry a gun, and what does a gun do, right? It's kind of just interesting to notice, right? Where do we carry something that can hurt and kill another person, right? Lovers and love affairs in the dysfunctional sense, right? I mean, we're all kind of grown-ups here, so I think it's okay to mention that I think we all have had experiences where we've been attracted to a person, male or female, that you just simply know that I could never be with that person. I would never even want to be with that person. But you know what? I am so attracted to that person. Am I right? We've all experienced. Sure. What's that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like, you know something? I don't even want to be with that person. But you know something? I can't take my hands off him or her. Right? That's a second chakra that is really trying to be healed. right? It seems like nobody escapes that kind of an experience. It can take you years to heal from that. Years to heal from that. I know, I've experienced that. Power struggles between dysfunctional lovers, right? Most of us have been or still are in dysfunctional power struggles, blaming each other, right? Or you think, what did this person hear? This is not what I said. Agreed? Right? Like we usually call it like, well, what happened here? You know, they're just like people would say, well, he or she just turned it around. Right? That's an illustration of a second chakra that is depleted. It's your animal nature, right? A first and second chakra pretty closely connected. And it always makes me sad to see somebody's animal nature that has remained unbridled, right? It's very, very damaging, and it's very painful, like people who look for love, right, in a purely sexual relationship, right, and time again become hurt and depleted looking for love, shall we say, in all the wrong places, right? I think we can all relate. At least at some point we've done that. Yes. So your chakras, we mostly work with the seven chakras, are essentially connected to the flow of the universe. Okay. I recently heard it explained in a way that I really liked, that we are essentially like a flute, right? And the chakras are the holes in the flute, right? And you are the flute, and if the holes are blocked, you're either going to get no sound, no music, or a very distorted sound out of that flute. Right? So it is so vital that we collectively keep our centers open and aligned. Not that they will ever, ever be totally aligned on a consistent basis, but I'd like to think that I can keep myself aligned at least for extended moments. Right? What do you think happens when we are aligned? What is happening with your breath when you are aligned, even just for a few moments? Yeah, you're connected with the universe and the perfect flow of creation, right? Because what is in that second chakra as we are healing it? What is in there? What is in there? Let's look at our sheet. Creativity. Creativity, second chakra, creativity. Okay, so as we open and unlock the second chakra, the creativity, which is the reason why, if I were your angel and I had this meeting with you guys, right, before you took form in this incarnation, you said, what do you want to create? What do you want to create? Right? And it's just magical when we realize that we create with each breath that we take. It's just so awesome that the breath is like a steam, and then we create in this physical form. Because once it's in the physical, it's in the physical. And so it's so important that we monitor how we think, right? And most of us still think that, oh, just kind of wandering around, you know, thinking whatever I want to think, right? And solidifying in our bodies most of our dysfunctional thoughts. Okay, so big alert here, you are not free to just think what you want to think. Because if you get up in the morning and you're in a crabby mood, right, you're polluting your field of creativity. And you're also polluting the field of people around you, right? So big alert here. No, you cannot just think what you want. Well, you can, but not if you are dedicated to your own expansion and to your own growth. You know, most of us kind of still live or have lived on automatic, if you will. Most of us also have heard of this 2012 planetary shift. Yeah, and I don't know if you do, but I certainly used to think like, well, is there anything going to change on this planet? Right? Because when we look at the outside world, what we see is just not very rosy. Right? But what is actually happening, in my understanding, is that we are clearing the real, the crud, if you will, the bottom layer of sexism, of racism, of religious biases. And if we just kind of allow it to pass, I really feel that we are literally in the end times with that. Because what we're seeing in the world now, we've never seen before to the extent that it is going on. So if I may ask to just simply notice your breath, send love to whatever it is that you're hearing or feeling, right? And just move on, because I'm pretty sure that it will pass. Right? In my own energy awareness, I'm feeling that we have actually, to some extent, arrived where we are now beginning to really, really see a serious shift in the transformation. And so it's even more important to keep monitoring what we're working with today is that second chakra, because it will help you, by virtue of where it is, it will help you to ground. Look at where it is, right? If this chakra is locked up, what is going to happen? You're not going to be able to ground the consciousness in the physical dimension, right? Clear? I mean, that's just obvious, right? Our sexuality has been locked up either in dysfunction or in abstention or in confusion for a long time, right? And as we open our vessel, that first and second chakra are hugely, hugely important. So I just wanted to give a little bit of an energetic picture first, if that's okay with you. Okay? So just hold in your awareness that we are this flute, as I like to hear it described. Or I usually say in my classes that we are a vessel, we are an instrument, right? And it is up to us to keep that instrument clear as possible. Okay. Remember, please, that while we are living on the planet, right, it's almost like I've developed a slight impatience, both with myself when I find something difficult. It's like, well, I'm afraid. Well, what are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid because I've never been on my own. I have never actually not worked in a large organization. I've never had to support myself by myself. I've always had a partner, lover, wife, husband. And to which I say, okay, what are you going to say at the moment of your death, right? What are you going to say? Because you will be held accountable, right, by the law the alignment to the law of the universe. Like, how much have you loved? Right? What have you withheld? Right? Have you forgiven? Right? Have you trusted yourself? Have you spoken clearly enough? Right? Or did you hide? Right? Yeah, and I can see, that's why I'm saying these things, that I'm giving you a few examples, and I think you know these examples apply to me just as well as to you. Right? But I feel that we are reaching a time in our evolution where, no more excuses. Right? No more excuses. You know, you've come here to create, and if I were your angel and your spiritual director, I would say, you must do it. Right? The excuses will drain so much energy out of you that they literally will deplete you and make you sick. Right? And so your breath, if you just like breathe, you know, without being aware of your breath, and if you just think without being aware of your thoughts, okay, what are you doing? You are reinforcing those old energetic patterns, right? And we just simply can no longer afford to do that, right? We just simply can no longer afford to do that. Okay, let's take a breath, because I'm noticing some, ooh, this is too much. Oh, that's the nature of my work. Ooh, it's too much. And then we go, well, yeah, we actually have to step into it. Okay, so just take a breath and monitor your breath. Watch your breath. Because you want to manifest, do you not? Right? You want to manifest, do you not? I mean, I do. So you've come here to create and to manifest. So you want to keep your flute as clear as possible, right? Remember, if the flow of the universe or the breath of God, I mean, there's like a million ways of saying the same thing, right? Its nature is to flow through you and to manifest. What is needed to manifest? Can you tell me? What is needed to manifest? Creative energy.
Awareness.
Thank you. Right. And so you want to bring up the vibration. Right? There's actually numbers connected to it, but I kind of forgot what the numbers are. That staying aware of where your breath is going, not just stumbling out of bed in a bad mood and thinking bad thoughts. If you actually stay awake to your thoughts, if you actually watch the mouth, right, in the way of reactivity. And as I say, I'm just there, just like you are. I'm no exception. I may have had a little bit more practice, though. I like to say I've cleaned up my instrument, because I've been cleaning my instrument for, I don't know, maybe 35 years or so, right? And so it brings up the vibration, right? You become irresistible, right, to the universe to work through you. In creating, not just whatever I want, but in creating something that is energetically in alignment with your gifts and your abilities, right? People ask me very frequently, well, what are my gifts? And I go like, have you started cleaning up your instrument? Have you started cleaning up your instrument? Right? So watching your thoughts and watching your reactivity, and where are they in the body? Right? The body, for me at least, is a really big piece. Time and time again, I've seen people in my practice with health conditions, diseases, right, that they really don't even need to have. They don't need to have. Because when a condition has remained unaddressed, sometimes for lifetimes, right, eventually the body may turn it into disease. You know, the energy goes round and round because it has remained unchecked. And of course, you go and see a physician, chances are that, well, you know, you just get the physical condition treated, right? Nobody's going to alert you to the emotional or mental component, let alone the spiritual component of what is manifesting in this body, right? I wanted to share something that just happened to me a few days ago, and I even wrote it down. It's kind of a picture that I was given recently of how energy comes through us, through this flute, if you will. When we have an intention, right? You have an intention. What actually happens, and this is quantum physics, and you can actually look this up. If you have an intention, a powerful intention, a light comes on in your energy field. It's like this little ball of light lights up. You must have heard this said before. Now, if you keep your attention on this intention, right, this light grows bigger and bigger. So every morning you need to think and you need to put attention on your intention. Right? So even if you want to manifest just a new car, right, you want to put your attention on this intention on a very regular basis. Okay? So back to what happens in this field of desires, because we all have a field of desires, right? Is your intention creates almost like a light that comes on. Right? So by putting your attention on the intention, I was given kind of an energetic picture of what that looks like. I was driving, it's like, you know something, angels, you could like give me these lovely things when I'm quietly sitting on my couch, not while I'm driving, right? But you know, this is how it is, right? So here is what I saw. Because I have a strong intention that I'm working on. The intention lights up, could be way, way up, right? Now, remember, it has to come down, right? It has to come down through this flute, right? And it has to be dropped in this physical experience, right? So I saw like all these angels. And I don't know if I can explain this properly, this ball of light, which is my heart's desire, my intention, right? Probably lights up in a vibration that I'm not able to hold in this physical. And I saw three or four angels, you know, when you see sometimes relief workers handling bags of rice, and they're like handing it down from one to, they're like throwing it from hand to hand. Well, these angels were like taking my ball of light and they were like throwing it to each other. And I was thinking, what are they doing? Right? And when it was stepped down enough energetically, one angel dropped it into my crown. Right? And I was fascinated because it's really quite a journey when you set an intention, right? It can be so energetically powerful that you cannot yet hold it in your physical experience. Otherwise, we probably would burn up or something, you know, or explode, right? So the angels have to step it down until little Lydia here is ready to receive it. Right, and to me, the science and the how important it is to keep that flute clean, right? To keep that instrument clean, Right? And that most probably is a lifetime of focusing, but we are collectively really getting there because we're developing our awareness. Yeah? We're developing our awareness. So spirit never, ever, ever stops talking to you, right? In case you say, I never hear anything, well, you're here, so spirit told you that something could be learned, something could be received just by being here, right? So you can't tell me that spirit doesn't talk to you, okay? Because spirit actually never stops. But the cleaner you keep your instrument, the more awareness you're going to have of the breath and where your thoughts are. Okay? I feel it important, so just so you know we're on the same page, I want to relate a little bit of a personal story about vampire energy. Okay, it doesn't sound good, does it? Yeah, I know it doesn't sound good. It's actually similar to bullying energy, right? We've all experienced that, right? Well, a couple of months ago, early September actually, I was visiting my family in Europe, okay? And, you know, I like to say I've been working on myself. I cleaned up my instrument for so many years, right? But I do have a sister who is very, very, very difficult to be on the same page with, okay? And over the years, I was by myself this time, over the years, I've made it my mission and my purpose, right, to connect with her from the heart. You know, just a little bit of background story. She was like my mom when I was little. I had a mom, but she kind of, like so many of us, wasn't really available. And so my sister was bigger sister, you know, big sister, very important when I was growing up. And she was a bully, you know, and she hurt me. Energetically, physically, and she was absolutely relentless. And so it's almost like my life purpose was to be free from her bullying, which is kind of in a very subtle way that she was doing this, like pulling my power. It was very, very important to me that I could please her and make her happy. Right? And I know that many of you can relate to that, right? Because most of us have such a person or have had such a person. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And so I truly, truly made it my life's work to no longer be affected by her negativity. Somehow just looking at her would trigger me. And I would just lose my power, right? And so over the so many years, I thought, I think I've actually done it, you know? And I could feel my life growing exponentially as I was free from that bullying and vampire energy. Now, on this last trip, we had a lovely visit, myself and the rest of the family, and it's time to go to the airport, me to fly back to Chicago. I've been doing this, by the way, for 30, 40 years, but still the visit, it's always difficult to leave. It's like, I know I don't want to be there, but I miss them when I leave. You know that, ugh. And so I'm sitting in the back of the car next to one sister, and I have that vampire sister in the front with her husband, my brother-in-law. And I'm sitting in the back with my younger sister, and she's like going, okay, sis, and I'm going, yeah, I'm okay. I got my stomach in a knot, but I'm okay. Kind of just wanting to admit, right, that this is difficult. Why pretend that it's not, right? And so we're driving to the airport, we're parking the car, and blah, blah. Literally, maybe 2-3 minutes before I'm saying my goodbyes, that I'm ready to go through security, and I'm still feeling the emotion of that. I was telling something that, as usual, she would misunderstand and misinterpret. And she shot a poison arrow at me that so shook me up, right? It's not so much like what she said, but she like totally negated and ridiculed because she had misinterpreted, or I should say interpreted according to her own programming, right? And so I went through customs in tears, but knowing that I shouldn't really be in tears, but I was. And so the whole journey back to Chicago, I just felt very, just, you know, and for several weeks after, I could not clear it. I could not clear. It's almost like she took a bite out of my second chakra, like a big bite, you know, and I felt physical pain as well. So just so you know that I know what vampire energy is, okay? It took me probably several months, 2 months maybe, 2.5 months of breathing and trusting and crying. And I found within myself, within my flute, right, a little morsel that I had overlooked. Right? And that little morsel was buried so deep, you know, that seeing her happy was really, in spite of all my nice Buddhist approaches and sending her love and giving her love, I was still attached that she was happy. Because if she's not happy, it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. Whoever is in the vicinity will get it, you know. She really is an unpleasant person. I have a friend who's a quote-unquote an intuitive or a psychic, if you will, and she said to me, Lydia, your sister is a monster. And I go like, no, no. But that's what she said, like a despot. That was her words. Right? And so it's kind of difficult to hear that my sister is in that vibration, right? But it just took so much for me to realize that I didn't know that I was still attached to seeing her happy. Not so much seeing her happy, but if she's not, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And so I spent a lot of energy making sure that she was happy, you know, and making sure that I could keep her happy, right? And although this is kind of basic, it took me all that time to at such a deep level, because this pattern has been with me probably in past lives, right? But definitely since the moment I was born. Right? And so the hooks, if you will, were deeply wired through my system. Right? And so I'm sharing this little story with you because I know that most of us here do have or have had, right? In a work situation, in a personal situation, right? Right? I'm just looking at everybody here. Yes. And the tendency is to blame another person, but not. Because you may have provided, just like I had provided, the opening, the drain, if you will, for that energy leak to occur. Right?
A target for her.
What's that, sweetie?
A target.
Well, yes, but the target was me, and it's just unpleasant to acknowledge, but it's even more unpleasant to just live with it and to keep, you know, because remember, your breath if you bring awareness to it, right, you're going to attract the vibration that you put out, basic, right? Do we remember that? Well, I think we need to, right? I think we need to remember that, right? And so it's not so much, Lydia, how do I fix this? Lydia, how do I fix this? It is, you are aware that you cannot just leap out of bed and start spreading whatever it is, right? Mostly to yourself, right? Because if this registers in your field, which everything registers in your field, you're going to attract that vibration to you. I mean, we've all heard people say, Lydia, why do I attract all these bad boys, usually with, you know, women who attract all these men, right? Why do I attract bad boys like that, right? You've heard that said, right? I mean, every relationship I've had, you know, has been dysfunctional. Not so much me, thank heavens, but I have had my share. But this is usually what people say, right? What I hear men say is that they're prostituting themselves to a boss, right? That they're allowing themselves to be bullied for a paycheck, right? So I'm asking you to reflect, because I don't know each individual life story, right? Is that this can happen at work. This can happen to hold you back from a promotion, right? And you're not saving yourself. You are actually holding yourself back. So if that vampire energy is still within you, and I would guess it is with most of us, right? You need to acknowledge it, right? And you need to literally watch your thoughts, watch your breath, right? So these imprints can begin to loosen, yeah? Wanted to speak briefly on who attracts vampires. You don't know? How about people pleasers? Oh, heaven forbid if somebody would be unhappy with me. Oh, my God. Right? Oh, what if somebody didn't approve of me? Oh, my God. What if somebody didn't agree with me?
I'm not good enough for you, yes.
Right. I'm not good enough. Right? So people pleasers is a pathology to be a people pleaser, right? So I'm hoping as we are speaking together that you are walking through your own inner landscape, right? Your own inner landscape and finding where have you been either bullying somebody. And bullying takes many forms, you know, because it's usually the same pattern, been attracting vampire energy that for some reason, it's always your fault, right? In a relationship, somehow it's always your fault. You think, I must be like so bad. Everything's my fault, right? Until you realize that you have been in a relationship that drains your energy. Right. This is really big. It's really big. Okay, because it can prevent you from stepping into your creativity. Because there is nothing else that's important than your creativity. You know, you don't have to be an artist or making drawings to be creative. You have to be creative in your awareness. Right? That we can no longer schlep around through our day, right? Keeping our energy down, right? If you do nothing else but stay aware and stay awake, right? To your breath. You know, I'm amazed. I'm pretty aware of my breath most of the time, because I no longer want to create imprints that block my path, right? And so you can already see, of course, that the third chakra, which if you look at our sheet here, the third chakra, integrity, authenticity, and self-authority. In other words, you got to feel good about yourself, right? Stop hiding. You got to feel good about yourself. You got to step out and show yourself to the world, right? And something that we cannot do when there's a severe energy drain in the lower chakras. So all is actually perfect in Earth school, you know, if you have been felt victimized, and to be able to awake, or awaken, I should say, to that energy drain, you can actually thank your angel for bringing you here this evening, or for alerting you in some way, right, that you are growing, that you must grow, right? Remember, at the time of your death, we are held accountable by the law of the universe. The law of the universe is just as important as physical law. You know, if you break the law of the universe through this vessel here, through this flute, what's going to happen, right? So, what the handout that I have given you, even this tiny little picture at the bottom, if you observe as much as you can, as much as you can, am I feeling grounded? Am I feeling grounded? Am I feeling healthily balanced, right, in my male-female expression? Is my sexuality healthy? Healthy expression of your sexuality. Third chakra, where's my self-esteem at? It's not going to be perfect, but you can notice your thoughts so we can stop wiring and rewiring again and again. Just a brief pause as you're noticing begins to open that energy and interrupt the solidity of a pattern, right? This physical body is frozen thought. I think we know that, right? This is frozen thought. And so we can thaw it like an ice block, right? And feel the flow. Feel the flow. Okay, we have locked ourselves up in so many ways that maybe we didn't know. And we're here to thaw, if you will. We're here to thaw. Isn't that nice? Right? And to bring our creativity, right, of who you are, right? And it doesn't take, or it needn't take 500 years. It just takes this moment for you to be aware of it. And you'll see, as if I'm feeling this, the way I'm feeling it pretty strongly, is that the fifth dimensional energies are pouring into us to attune us and to harmonize us, right? In a bigger way than ever before. And you just have to be open and receive. Yeah, you have to be open and receive. So all you need to take home this evening is, what am I thinking? But you already knew that, but I'm hoping that you know that in a deeper way. What am I thinking? Right? Right? Am I breathing? Am I breathing? Right? Where am I holding my breath? Right? And those things we already knew. But I really want you to see yourself as a flute, or as I personally prefer to call it, as a vessel, right? A vessel that contains creative intelligence and that is used by the universe, right, to flow. And you have to ground, you know. Grounding sometimes is difficult because, you know, we have these lower chakras that have been challenging to ground the energy to walk, right, in Earth School, and to say yes to whatever challenges. So no more excuses. You know, I've been doing this work like for so long, and I used to be patient, but I'm kind of losing my patience a little bit. Like, okay, what excuse do you have today, and why? Oh, okay. So you just want to stay stuck. Okay, well, it's up to you. It's up to you, right? It's almost like something has shifted in me that, I mean, I want to be kind and patient, you know, but some people it's like, right? Right? Didn't I meet you 10 years ago? Uh-huh. Oh, but Lydia, you know, I haven't been wanting to, and you know. Right. Okay. So, in closing, what time is it? Is that feeling safe can be synonymous with feeling stuck? Right? Feeling safe is an illusion. Because you know what? The universe will actually push you over the edge. So why don't you like take a step before the universe has to?
All right. Yeah.
Because the universe will have to do that. Right? I mean, I could tell personal stories, but this is kind of recorded, so I'm not going to do that. That like, oh, really? I've been trying to avoid this for years, but the universe goes, we're here to catch you, but, right? So feeling safe essentially means, can mean feeling stuck. And I notice myself, like, it's comforting to do the same thing, right? Over and over and over again, right? But you have to realize that there is no such thing as safety. The safety lies that you feel your alignment and that you know that you're surrounded by love. And that is not just something that we're saying that is so. Where do you think that breath comes from? Right? The breath is divinity breathing out as you breathe in. So make sure that divine breath flows through you. And that you stay awake as you watch that flow. Yes?
I'm very unfamiliar with all of this, but I had heard of emotional vampires before, and it was also described as bullying, like you have. Is it ever the case where somebody is just really needy and that also can drain your energy, or is something else happening with the needy people?
No, sweetie, you're totally correct. Okay. It has needy people who will drain you, and it is you, in this case, also being needy on that person being needy. Yes, yes. Frequently controlled dramas is a two-way street. Okay, if you want to cut cords with a vampire, it means having the courage, right, not to be needed. And those of us in the healing arts, including myself, it frequently is a challenge not to be needed. Right? Is that clear, sweetie? So it is a two-way street, right? The bullying, frequently when we can't let go and when we're a lot of judgment on the vampire, right? But you're holding on to the needy feeling, that vampire is going to feel the draw. Right? So it's very important is to be self-sufficient as much as we can, or to rely and to work with people who can support your well-being without depleting you.
Somebody wrote in a question. What is the best way to fight vampire energy? Is that correct? Energy vampire.
The best way to find one?
Fight.
Oh, fight.
Overcome.
May I ask who asked that question?
It was just online.
It was just online.
From somebody watching online.
Okay. Well, we don't fight it, right? We acknowledge our our participation in supplying an opening for an energy drain to occur, just like I asked and I answered this lovely lady here, right? Being needy and needing the attachment to a person is going to cause frequently an energy vampire to hold on, because it's a matter of power. And we kind of go back and forth with the power struggle. So no, we do not fight, ever. We just allow ourselves to feel self-sufficient, and so then, pew, the vampire energy would find no satisfaction, right? Because there's no energy to be drained. You're self-sufficient as much as possible.
This, what I find is that it's almost like a seasonal thing.
A seasonal?
Like a seasonal issue, where like August and February are sort of the weakest times, the times when I have the least energy from a seasonal standpoint.
Okay.
And so sometimes I find that people can affect me more during those times, mm-hmm. because I'm weaker. Any idea, you know, of a good way to approach that?
Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, and to a large extent, to make sure as best as you can that your flow is clear. And of course, yes, I do understand at times we feel depleted, but you know, such is life in this physical dimension, right? Just take good care of yourself. Okay.
I know of some ways, but I was wondering if you might mention some ways to keep the chakras cleared, because there are ways to clear the chakra, many different ways, but maybe some people aren't aware of that.
Well, we stay awake of our thoughts. We stay awake to your feelings, right? And you stay awake that we don't involve ourselves in reactivity, like, right? And the biggest key, I feel, is self-love. To hold your power of self-love. And for most of us, self-love is still such a challenge, including with me, is at least I'm able to now monitor and manage when I judge myself or criticize myself. I forgot a handout this evening that I wanted to share with you. And but it doesn't take me so long anymore. It's like, okay. The handout was forgotten, right? So self-love and integrity. Make sure that your words and your actions are in alignment. Really notice yourself, right? Self-love, being authentic, so you don't have to, you know, being authentic, keeps your third chakra open and vibrant. Okay. And it definitely is ongoing. It seems to be one of the biggest challenges of humanity, to help us to remember our divine connection, right? And because manifestation will increase as we practice self-acceptance and self-love. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I was wondering if you would recommend reconnective healing to help heal chakras.
I don't make any recommendations, I've never experienced reconnective healing, but I'm assuming it can be useful, but I cannot do a personal. There are so many healing techniques, if you will, right? I prefer going beyond the technique and to work with awareness. Right? And if ever I am the person that you would want to work with, the first thing we would do is to read your chakras. Where is the drain? Where are you at? Right? And what can you do? Certainly I help. I start the energy, and the energy comes to you to transform the pattern. But I prefer not to rely on, you know, there are so many techniques, right? Whatever you feel you resonate with, not to overlook yourself.
There's one more question from somebody watching online. Would it be a correct assumption to shift our focus to our inner self and feel a sense of peace and wholeness to maintain our own energetic balance?
I think so. We can all say yes to that, right? Yes. Yes. Do we feel kind of complete, so I can close with maybe a few more suggestions? Okay. Well, good, good. If I may ask you, just take this home and keep it in a prominent place, right? And just look at it every day. Am I speaking my truth? Big one. Right? A lot of the time I don't want to upset anybody, right? Are we speaking our truth kindly, right? Without blaming, without shaming, right? How am I feeling about myself? Okay, I forgot my flyer, but it doesn't take me the rest of the night to recover anymore. You know what I'm saying? Notice yourself, notice your breath right away. Are you practicing forgiveness? Oh! Yeah? Am I practicing forgiveness of my big sister?